Welcome to Cricket Only Better episode 234 for Betfair. I'm Ed Hawkins. This is the ultimate betting guide to the Indian Premier League, part one. We've got five teams analysed, possible 11s, power rankings for those teams, as well as a new way to analyse the strength of these squads and the best players to follow on the tops markets. We've got a ground guide. We've got strategy chat as well. Paul Krishnamurti of betting.betfair. This is the biggest betting event of the year. Are you ready?
Certainly am. Really brilliant few months coming up for us.
Sure is. Joined as ever by Richard Mann of sportinglife.com. 3-1 winner for him last time. Beside yourself, Richard Mann, with excitement.
Yeah, looking forward to it now. We've had plenty of franchise cricket recently, but this is the big one.
This is the big one. We've kind of been warming up all these franchise tournaments which come before your preparation for the IPL, which starts March 22nd. Do hang around till the end of the show because Richard and Paul are giving you a standout bet from part one. Part two will come next week, same time, same place. We're going to start with a Betfair exchange outright, as we always do. And that's key because in part one, we're going to look at the bottom five in the betting. There's the bottom five teams. Next week, we'll do the top five. So, and Mumbai Indians favourites at 5.9 on Betfair Exchange. Chennai not far behind by a click at 6. Gujarat Titans 8.4. RCB 9.2. Royals 9.6. We do all those teams next week. Sunrisers 11.5. Look now, Supergiants 13.5, and then KKR and Punjab can't be split at 15.5 each. We're going to have a good go at sorting those bottom five out for you. I can tell you now, I think there's consensus on where the wrong price is, so hang around. But Richard, don't give it away just yet. Just some thoughts, Jeremy, on some of those prices. We'll talk about them next week in detail about some of those shorter price teams. And then I'll say now, I think Gujarat are way too short. But what do you reckon?
I think what we see every time in these franchise competitions is at the start of the tournament, prices are laid out. And within a few weeks, the cream has risen to the top. And it's T20 cricket in franchise cricket anyway, is really predictable. And I think CSK now 6.0. I suspect 3 or 4 weeks into the competition, they'll be more like 4.2, something like that. I think you'll see Mumbai shorten as well, because it'll be fairly obvious that they're going to be really close to those top two positions. The one stinky price for me is RCB. I couldn't have them fourth favourites for anyone's money. I know they've got some big name stars, but it's just never enough for them. Further down the list, look quite interesting, but I think the real message for me is the cream will rise to the top, and it's hard to get away from the front of the market.
Paul, cream rising to the top is the way of franchise leagues. Probably, you know, it's a relatively new format, isn't it, when you think about cricket being such a historic, traditional game. But the format has sorted itself out now. We did get shocks and upsets and funny turnarounds, but the best teams are the best teams, aren't they?
Yeah, and we know these teams, we know these squads, we know the way that they line up. I mean, I pretty much agree with everything Rich said there. The one team I don't really like in the top group is RCB. I mean, I always think with the IPL that the early market is just too competitive. I don't think if you translate those into percentages that the teams down the bottom really have got a 7% chance of winning. I don't think they've got hardly any chance at all. And I think, look, I mean, we'll get into the specific teams and which ones might be good or bad value. But if you took a broad trading position and you said the top five in the market, that pays 2-1 on, and the bottom five in the market pays 2-1. I think that 2-1 on is really, really solid. And of course, once you get into amending it with a team or two that we think is good or poor value, you get slightly bigger odds than that. So I think that's a pretty decent way to start the tournament with that trade.
A related question on that point then, Paul. Punters will probably look at some of these prices, these big prices on Punjab and KKR at 15.5. And they'll think, well, all I need to do is get into the top four. I've got a trade on my hands. But there'll be still those two sides, say it's one of them, squeezes into the playoffs as the worst qualifier, they're still going to be a big old price, aren't they?
Yeah, if you don't finish in the top two, you're really minimum 7.0, could be 10.0. So there's not that much of an angle. I mean, of course, like, if you think one of those teams at the bottom is completely wrong and they're potential title contenders, then yeah, that's worth a trade. But I think that's quite a hard case to make generally about any of them. And look at it the other way as well. Look at the to finish bottom market. Really, can you anyone see Chennai finishing bottom, given their record in it, or any of those sides at the top? You know, they've got rock solid, very, very strong win ratios in this tournament, and I find that very hard to see.
Yeah, Rich, we're looking for value to finish bottom, aren't we? Largely, perhaps, on this show tonight. We think we've got one wrong price in terms of a good side. Do you need a different sort of mindset? Because we're obviously so steeped in trying to find winners, aren't we? So here you're trying to find losers. Different mindset required?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a real interesting one. I do like this market. I've fallen for it a lot over the years. I think you need a squad that or a team that you think could implode, that if they get off to a bad start, things could quickly go wrong for them. And we did actually say it at the start last year with Sunrisers. I know we thought they had a good squad and they were potentially dangerous, but it was a really new squad. And we said that if it got off to a bad start, things could unravel quickly. And that's what happened. And you think about the big bash with the Sydney Thunder. You know that if they get off to a bad start, things will quickly unravel. I think that's what you've got to look at. I mean, I look at Delhi Capitals now, and they're focused on a few overseas players who've got big injury problems, or Richard Pant had a horrific car accident. You feel that with them, things could unravel really quickly. And that's the way I'm looking at it. There's some sides in here, even though they're quite short to finish bottom, who you think they're solid enough to pick up sort of six wins. You want a real potential car crash, I think.
Great stuff. We are going to talk about those squads. We've got a new way of looking at them because we've got benchmarks for stats for what players are in terms of performing below or above the mean, and what you need to be doing on your stats for an elite player. Obviously, there are not many elite players around, but we'll tell you who they are. We'll also tell you, we think there's a team we're discussing tonight who won't even pick their one elite player. Each team's got an elite player. We'll get to that. Paul, I want to come to you on ground guides. We've just finished off PSL almost, anyway, still going on, but against the Newmont there. Keen to be backing both teams to score at big runs, 200, 220. There's a two-part question on ground guides. I'll give you a stats for the grounds now. Bangalore, Vankhedi and Ahmedabad are the best three in terms of run rate, so the best three batting wickets, and the worst three in terms of run rates, Jaipur, Chennai, and Lucknow. Lucknow, the worst, 7.3. Chennai, interestingly, will do power rankings with these teams throughout these preview shows. Actually rated second for batting power last term, so maybe Chennai's getting a bit better. But where's the best place to get this? Both teams to score, Paul. I mean, presumably Bangalore 220, maybe a short 16s, maybe even shorter. And now I'll ask you a second part on the grounds to short.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say don't be so ambitious with the 220. You know, last year was the best forever for runs in IPL, and that didn't land once, right? But we did get a few 210s and 200s. So I'd go at the 210, both score 210s. With that in mind, the place is Bangalore. So we had 9 matches at Bangalore last year, 7 in the IPL and 2 internationals. 2 out of the 9 produced, both scored 210. If not, you've got the Wankhede where 7 matches, you got both scored 200, one twice. And another game was 199, 200. So obviously you're going to have a chance there. And finally, Mohali, you had 5 matches there and twice both teams scored 200 there.
Okay. Maybe both teams for 200, maybe sort of about 4 or 5 to 1 with sportsbooks, those individual games using guidelines from PSL for those prices. Second part of the question, Paul, is where we might be shorting runs, given those statistics I've just given you. Do you agree with those stats? And also, what is the effect of two bounces and over likely to have, and we credit at Punter Lost for that little nugget.
Yeah, brilliant bit of information there. I mean, first of all, I'm just going to say, on the 2 sixes per over, I think it might have a small impact, like maybe runs come down by five. But when you think about it, you've got at least 8 overs in each innings are going to be spin, maybe 12 sometimes. So you're only talking an extra sort of maybe 10 to 12 balls on average. And of course, sometimes bouncers are going to go wrong and you're going to get no balls and 3 hits and, you know, possibly even hit 6. So I'm not sure it'll be that big an impact. Now, on the unders, absolute no-brainer. Look now. We didn't have a lot of stats price last year. We now have two-thirds of games finished under, first innings finished under 160 there last year, which is in keeping with the historic stats there. And it's way lower than all the other grounds. If you're playing sixes rather than runs, the other place to do it is Chennai. Chennai, 55% of games come in 10 or fewer sixes at Chennai, and that will comfortably beat the market every time.
Okay, great stuff. A couple of pointers there for your notebook, make sure you jot those ones down. Rich, we're talking on the WhatsApp group about strategies based on particular teams. I know you like a ploy about picking one team of franchise league or maybe two. Do you want to go through that now, or do you want to wait until we get to one of those teams?
Yeah, we'll wait until we get teams. I do think it's really important, though, and I think you want to have it in your mind now who your teams are for middle-order top batsmen markets and who are your teams to avoid if you're wanting middle-order big prices. So RCB, the obvious one, you know, the top three just wins it all the time. It's a waste of time looking down the order. But there are other teams, KKR spring to mind. And it's the same with runs. Who are your strong finishers? Who are not necessarily strong finishers if you're betting runs? I think just sticking with runs, grounds are more important to me than teams. I think in this competition, that the standard's that high comes down to conditions. If you're wanting to, a bit like Adelaide in the Big Bash, you would pretty much back anyone to make big runs there, wouldn't you? Obviously, if you get a poor bowling team, then great. But just if you want a better runs, I think it's more to do with ground conditions. I'm going just quickly about the bouncer thing as well. A lot is about ground that I mentioned. You can bowl two bouncers and over, but if they're really short, boundary square, and I think it's something we're looking to nearer the time, Sam Curran, that's been his key weapon in T20 cricket, is the bouncer. But out here in the IPL, short square boundaries, he's gone the distance. So I'm open-minded about that. I don't think necessarily it's going to bring the runs down too much at all.
Yeah, we'll come back to Sam Curran. We'll also come back to those batters to follow. We've got win rates, the best win rates for each team for batting and bowling on your top bats markets. We'll get to those. A reminder that every single IPL match will be covered on betting.betfair. We'll also give you the winner and the top four in part two of the IPL Ultimate Betting Guide on Cricket Only Better next week. But let's get some of these teams on. We've ranked each of them for you on batting and bowling run rates. We've also introduced a new filter based on how the cricket analysts build squads, the metric which they use to filter players who perform below the mean, above the mean, and the elite. So we're using strike rate and average for batters and bowlers because we think those are the key metrics. And it's good to know how these sides are stocked. So above the mean benchmark for batsmen is 26 average and strike rate 135. For bowlers, it's 25.7 and 18.7. Elite bats average 34 and strike at more than 150 or more. Bowlers, 20 and strike rate of 14.8. So that's what the key is, if you like, for when we're talking about these players and teams. How do they stack up? Are they strong? First team out of the block. Our Punjab at 15.5, 72 is sportsbook to finish bottom. Last season they finished 8th. Their batting power rank is 3. Their bowling rank is 9. Possible 11 for Ridwan opening the batting. Prab Singh, an early shout out for him, 100-1 bet their sportsbook top tournament batsman each way. He's just a few clicks of short of being an elite player. Could have a big season. Bairstow or Short, Livingston, Tide, Jitesh, Sam Curran, Harshal Patel, Harpreet or Chahar, Arshdeep Rabada. Dhawan and Sam Curran stand out here because they are below the mean, so they're not above mean. They're not really hitting the heights that you would expect players for their reputation and their locks, aren't they, for this team. Harshal is an elite bowler. Top bat, Livingston, 30% last 2 years. Top bowler, Rabada, 36.8%. Two rights straight off the bat who are going to be valued throughout this tournament on top bats markets. No playoffs since 2014, Rich, for Punjab. Is this the year?
No, it's not. What the big concern for me is they've invested heavily in Bairstow, Livingston, Russo, Sam Curran, and as their overseas sort of string, if you like, and all of those names I've mentioned come into this with big form questions to answer. They need to improve to get into the playoffs, and I'd actually worry that they're potentially going to go backwards.
Paul, they needed to add a bit of bowling now, given that bowling rank of theirs. Again, we're talking about those ground guys, match up Punjab on really flat wickets to go round, absolutely round the park. Have they done enough in terms of sourcing out their bowling resources? Doesn't look like it. We're on mute, Paul.
No, I don't think they have done enough. But I was going to say that the one positive was the addition of Harshal Patel, who is a cracking death bowler and was at least during one great season at RCB, a really elite player. But otherwise, I agree with Rich. I mean, like, those overseas batsmen aren't in great form. To me, like, the particularly Bairstow or Short, that's a critical position for me. And Bairstow's in decline. Only one of them's going to play. Sam Curran, very disappointing last year. I thought that was the whole key to them improving. But as Rich predicted, he's just not suited to those conditions out there. So, no, perennial failures, no reason to think they'll do any better. And correct favourites to finish bottom.
Best ways to play these guys then, start with you, Rich, and then to Paul, could be something in play, a nugget, whatever.
Yeah, so it's obviously price dependent, but this team made 11 50s last season and there was 100. Teddy made two of the 50s and Prab Singh, who you gave a mention, made 150 and 100. But given how many big names are in this lineup, and Bairstow, Livingston, Dhawan, I wonder if those two guys, too young, I think they're both 23, emerging players, might go under the radar early season and they'll be the guys to be within the top Punjab batsman markets.
Oh. I'm going to go with a more obvious. I think Shikhar Dhawan is a very, very solid pick for them, top bat, and he'll usually be enhanced most games. I'm pretty sure that's going to be paid over the years. And also the other player, big favourite of ours on this show, is Arshdeep Singh, top wicket taker. Bowls at the start, bowls at the death, takes a lot of wickets.
I'll give you live stats on that. Dhawan, 28% yet, is going to probably be value when he's boosted. Arshdeep, actually a little bit disappointing, 14.29 last 2 years on your win rates. But Dhawan,
maybe it's for India. Maybe it's just for India that he's got the returns.
Slow and steady wins the race, perhaps, for Dhawan. We're talking about these elite players and benchmarks. Don't get bogged down if one of your top bat fancies isn't an elite player. There's no relationship between the two. Warner, a great example of that, who's slowing up all the time, but plays for himself. We don't mind that on the top bats. And let's move on to KKR, 15.5 on Betfair Exchange to finish. To win it, 7-2 with Betfair Sportsbook to finish bottom. They were 7th last season, 6 and 8 batting and bowling respectively. Possible 11 for you. Salt, Venkatesh Iyer, Shreyas Iyer, Rana, Rinku, Russell, Ramandeep, Naren, Stark, who is your elite player in the KKR team, Varun and Zakaria. A little bit worried about Shreyas' back, who's giving him all kinds of problems. We think they'll sub Venki out for C.S. Sharma, the spin bowler, who has a record commensurate with an elite player. But apart from that, only four above the mean in that possible 11 for KKR. So it suggests that the outright market is correct. Atkinson and Roy have been withdrawn. And your top bats, your top bat guy to follow is Russell, 28%. You're going to get massive prices on him. And you're also going to get massive prices on him for the top bowler as well. He pops at 28%. Paul, I'm surprised by how they've stacked up with the number of players above the mean, because I quite fancy them actually. Now I've completely changed my mind. It looks like the market's right.
Yeah, pretty much right. I wouldn't have them as the rank outsiders necessarily, because I think they've got quite a solid Indian core to the side, which is very important. Although, as you say, if Shreyas Iyer's got trouble with his bat, that's a massive negative, because that was their reason to improve. The one thing I'd say is Rinku Singh's an absolute superstar. He's a big positive, but no, I don't see him. And once again, we go back to a common theme we've had, the Andre Russell, Sunil Narine factor. When's the last time they won a tournament?
Yeah.
And they're down for everything.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Rich, given those numbers that Russell's producing with the bat and the ball, if he gets injured, which he's very prone to, I mean, they're in trouble, aren't they, KKR?
Yeah, they are. I mean, you know they're going to pick Narine and Russell anyway, even when they've been out of form in the last few years. They've stuck with them. I think those two and Stark, they needed a strike bowler. Narine wasn't that strike bowler, but great control still. So those three, actually, they've got to have good tournaments, stay fit, have good tournaments for them to have any chance. But they look really reliant on them. I still think they're a dangerous side. I think they're capable of great things. And that middle order is, as Paul said, really, really strong. But there's a lot riding on Russell in particular.
Paul, any betting nuggets for this KKR team?
I would have said for the tournament, top tournament wicket taker for the team, I think Varun Chakravarty is very solid, because every chance Russell will get injured, and look at Chakravarty's done very well in this tournament for the last 3 years. And I've got to stick with Rinku Singh for man of the match. You know, this guy got 474 runs last year, batting at 5 and 6. You know, he's perfect for that market.
Yeah, it's a good way to play Rinku, that, because he's not likely to be value on your top bats. He's going to be probably prohibitively priced, because obviously the secret is out with him. Rich, anything for you?
Yeah, just build on Rinku. Impact players last year were winning the man of the match market. I'll get on to Stoinis later on, actually, but people in the middle order were winning the man of the match market, so I can definitely endorse that. Although you'd be surprised, actually, Rinku faced more balls last season than any other KKR batsman. So it wasn't like he was batting in the middle order and he was out of the run scorer market at all. But what I got written down for this team is late finishes. 89 for 5 after 11 and a half overs against RCB. Got 204 last season. 155 for 7 v Titans at the halfway mark. Chased down 205. 96 for 5 v SRH after 10.1 overs. Got 205. And they chased 180 against Punjab, having been 124 for 4 after 15.2. With that middle order, late runs when conditions allow for this team, they can 14 and over, 15 and over. It's not a stretch for Russell and Rinku.
Just to add to that as well, that really pays, makes sense as well, because Eden Gardens is a small ground, absolutely perfect to go crazy to death. So if they're set at home, that middle order, go for it, definitely. Extreme overs.
Yeah, maybe marry it up with a bowling team we know is very leaky. Let's move on to a team which struggled with the bat last season. It's Delhi Capitals, 13.5 on Betfair Exchange to win the IPL. They are 6-1 with Sportsbook to finish bottom. They finished 9th last season. Their batting rank is bottom of the pile, number 10. They are 4th with the ball. We have a possible 11 for you with Shaw or Yash Dhul opening the batting. Shaw's strike rate is 150 at elite level. His average ain't. Warner, it does perform above the mean still. Mitchell, Marsh, Harry Brook. Then we've got Pant in this team, but we know he won't be keeping for the first half of the season. So Axar Patel will probably follow him, or Harrell, who will have to keep wicket. Kaldeep, Mukesh, Khalil, Nokia. We're talking about main players and elite players in this COB, but we think Delhi are going to leave out the one elite player they've got, and that's Lungi Ngidi. And they won't be alone in that. So many teams failed to pick Ngidi despite incredible numbers with average and strike rate. Apart from Perel and Dool, that possible 11 for you, all of them are performing above the mean. Top bat guy to follow is Warner. In IPL last 2 years, all these stats are IPL last 2 years, 42% win rate. Top bowler is Mukesh at 20%, but then you're going to get that with Sportsbook. Rich, balance is an issue with Pant not keeping in the first half. They could panic and make sure he takes the glove for the second half. Maybe they would improve. What's your view?
Yeah, I've got written down about this team, lots of question marks. Question marks about Pant keeping, question marks about Pant being the same player he was. Horrific car accident and so long out of the game. And he's not the only one with the question marks. I mean, Norkey has not played at all in the last year. He's going to come back as their strike bowler. Mitchell Marsh is a key overseas player for them, but he had a terrible season last year. He's injury prone too. Do we know the situation with Harry Brook? He's just missed the entirety of the England Test Series, which was played in India. Is he going to be available? They can't draft him. Phil Salt, who they let go because he's gone to KKR now. Excellent signing, by the way. We should have mentioned that. So there's lots of potential things that could go wrong with this Delhi Capitals squad. And they were poor already last year. And the other thing, has Ricky Ponting as head coach taken them as far as he can? Runners up in 2020, but I don't think they've improved. I think they've regressed. To me, we were talking about potential for a team to just implode if things start to go wrong, if Pant can't stay on the park, if Warner's not the player he was, we're not quite sure. And for me, this is that potential. The 6-1 to finish bottom, I think it's a big prize. Look, they could have a good season because, as we've said, they have got some really good players throughout that squad. But I think if there's one team things could go drastically wrong for, it's these.
Rich mentioned Ponting there as a coach, and it's something we'll probably pick up on when we talk about Sunrisers. Maybe we don't focus enough on the coaches, but Ngidi, you just don't think he's going to be picked, do you, by Ponting? He's a guy that's not been picked a lot before with franchise teams.
No,
what's going on? He's got incredible numbers. We've mentioned him before.
We've mentioned him repeatedly. It is bizarre. Well, I mean, I guess a lot also depends if Nokia's playing. I do have a bit of a theory, though, here, is that they haven't really got much choice because you look at that side, they can always pick a strong Indian bowling lineup. Kuldeep, Mukesh, Akshar Patel, Khalil, Ishan Sharma, Lalit Yadav. So are they going to use more than one overseas bowler when they've got that lot to choose from? And it's always going to be Nokia or Ngidi. Whereas all those problems that Rich correctly, all those question marks and problems about the batting that you mentioned there, they really are reliant on those overseas players. They really need Warner, Brook and Marsh to all play and all fire. So I think that's going to be the way they line up. I agree, they don't look, they've definitely regressed from what looked like the best team in it. They came second. The only thing, I mean, I guess there is improvement there because you would think that Mitchell Marsh and Prithvi Shaw would have to improve on what was an absolute terrible season last year, but there's no reason to think they're going to contend.
Delhi have never won it. Rich, chances, plays, strategies, what?
Just softly, but Akshar Patel started last season going off 2025's top Delhi batsman marquee. Soon shortened up. I think he won it once, went close another occasion. And bar Warner, everyone was poor. So if Warner failed, Akshar was generally picking up the pieces. Now, obviously, you've got people coming back, Brook and Pant. But say if Pant misses a few early doors or plays one and is rested for another, Akshar bats number six. If he's going off 20s, 25s, we know that's too big. We know he's too good a player for that.
Anything for you, Paul?
Yeah, I like that. Well, that's very solid, Akshar. Kuldeep Yadav has a very good man of the match return in IPL, I'm pretty sure, over the years. So maybe stick with him. And just to say, because I think this will be a price, Mitchell Marsh finished as their top wicket taker last season and had the best strike rate. Now, I mean, he's never in the top three or even top four in the betting in that market. So, you know, if you're getting 5-1 or something, that might be worth a punt.
Good stuff. We've still got two teams to go. We've got Lucknow's Super Giants and Sunrisers Hyderabad to have a look at. Stick around for Rich and Paul's standout one-point wager for part one of this preview of the 2024 IPL. Betting.betfair has every single game covered for you when this thing gets underway. As I said, I think we're going to Lucknow Super Giants next at 13.0 on the Betfair Exchange. 6-1 to finish bottom, 7-2 to make the final. That might give you a clue as to the way we're going with Lucknow. Last season they were third. Their batting power rank is number 8. Their bowling power rank is number 2. I don't think we're too worried about that batting rank because, remember, at the top of the show we're talking about Lucknow being a really tricky batting wicket. So we're not too bothered about that. Possible 11 for you. De Kock, Rahul, Padikkal, Karan, Huda, Stoinis, Krunal, Bishnoi, Mohsin, Mavi and Naveen. Vesh Khan's a bit of a loss to them. Krunal and Mavi below the benchmark with the ball. Huda below the benchmark with the bat. Mohsin is elite. So one for top bowler outrights for Delhi Capitals. And also we'll mention him at 66-1 top tournament bowler each way with Sportsbook. Could go well. Your players to follow with bat and ball is Quinton de Kock, pipping Rahul, 36.8% win rate last 2 years on the top bat. Rahul is 33.3. It'd be good if we could dovetail with those two throughout the tournament. Mohsin, as I mentioned earlier, he's your best bowler at 28.5. Lucknow made the playoffs in both their two seasons. Paul, they're a new franchise that have got that benefit of starting from scratch and knowing all about the business. Wrong price alert. Do I need to get the klaxon out?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's no way they deserve to be that far down the betting. I mean, okay, they're probably not as good as that top two or three, but they're a very solid outfit. They've given us a good run for both these two seasons. And again, go back to this theme about how important it is to have a good core of Indian talent. They've got loads of it. You rightly highlight Mohsin Khan, who was outstanding 2 seasons ago, missed nearly all the last year of injury. He's like a new signing. Also, you can add Prerad Mankad came in and did pretty well last year with a bat, another Indian player. And they've also got a third spinner in Amit Mishra. So they should have a problem there, and that gives them lots of options with the overseas. Now, personally, I would drop Stoinis, who hasn't been in great form at all. And instead of him, you've got Carl Mayers, who did pretty well last year. Ashton Turner, good signing, I think. And David Willey as well, potential good all-rounds to put in.
Yeah, do like that. Huda perhaps coming out for Mankad, that would be quite a good ploy. Let's see if LSG get their team right from the start. Richard, you've got loads of strategies lined up for Lucknow. You're excited about this.
I agree with Paul. I think they're the wrong price. Solid team. Third last year, won 8 of the 14 matches. They're just a really, really strong outfit. I think David Willey's a really good pickup. He'll fit in well here. I have to disagree, Paul, on this, though. Marcus Stoinis, I know we've knocked him, and I know he's had a terrible run of form. But last year, he won the Man of the Match award 3 times out of 15 games, and yet he was going off 12, 14, 16. That's an insane strike rate for a team that wins, well, over 50% of its matches, 3 from 15. And the other angle against them now, this team are a really good team. We've just hyped them up, but they are terrible against off spin. They've got loads of left-handers. Kale Mayers, I know Ed's got him on his hit list against off spin. And they are. And last season, I just picked out one example. When they played Chennai early season, Moeen Ali, who's very much a part-time off-spinner nowadays, he took 4th and was man of the match in the first fixture. And then the reverse fixture, it was rained off at halfway, but Moeen had already taken 2 for 13 from 4 overs. CSK were 1-2-5 for 7 in the 19th over when it started raining. He would have been man of the match in that game as well, because I think the other guy to get wickets was actually Steve Sharma, another off-spinner. So when they come up against a team with quality off-spin, I think you want to be looking at the man of the match market there as well. Who's in opposition? If you've got a world-class offie, back him in for man of the match on us.
Brilliant stuff, Rich. Oh, I do remember the Mayers one. I think when they went to Chennai, they didn't even bowl any spin to him. He's dreadful against spin.
Yeah.
It's absolute raging. Short his runs, and they were bowling pace. But that happens in IPL. Just because we know some stuff doesn't necessarily mean that people making decisions do. That is that's the jeopardy. Anything finally from you, Paul? Because Rich has had a good go on there on LSG. Do you want to finish him off?
That was just brilliant insight from Rich there, brilliant insight. And you've already put up the most in cars 66-1 outright, great bet. So I'll just say back them top four.
Already. Our final team is Sunrisers Hyderabad. In our auction show, we suggested that Sunrisers' biggest challenge was to work out what their best team actually might be. It's a real head-scratcher. We're going to get to Rich and Paul's view on that in a second. 11.5 on Betfair Exchange to win it. 7-2 to make the final. 6-1 to finish bottom. They finished bottom last season. Batting rank is 9. Bowling rank is 7. I mean, their strategy basically seems to be sign as many more above the elite, above the mean, sorry, players as possible so no one else can play them. Possible 11 for you. Abhishek and Head opening the batting. Very much open to Rich or Paul saying I've got anything, something wrong here. But Tripathi at 3. Klaassen. Hasaranga going to have to bat high up as he did in ILT20, I suspect. Then we've got Abdul Samad, who's just a disappointment consistently. Washington Sundar, likewise. Cummins, we'll come back to him. Kumar Natarajan and Markande. Cummins is below that mean mark with the ball, and he is captain, so he is going to play, like it or not. Hasaranga is their one elite player, so you'd have thought he has to play. Klaassen is just a few ticks under elite, so I mean he's going to play as well. So that means Phillips won't play, Jansen won't play, Faruqi won't play, Markram won't play, the skipper last season. Top bat wins, Abhishek 32%, top bowler at 30% for Natarajan, 10-8-8 last 3 years, Richard. What's their best 11?
Oh, good grief. I'll give you the four best overseas players. It's Markram, Klaassen, it's Hasaranga, and it's Cummins when conditions allow. If you get on a turning pitch, though, you drop Cummins, I'm afraid, but we know they won't do that. And you get Glenn Phillips in, who bowls really good off-spin, and obviously he's a brilliant finisher. But they're not going to do that. They're going to pick Travis Head, your right head, and obviously Cummins is going to captain. Dan Vettori's coach here, head coach. He's also assistant coach for the Australia cricket team. That's why we're going to have this Australia axis. That's why it will go wrong. I feel really sorry for Aidan Markram, who was terrific last year, one of the shining lights. The Sunrisers franchise have won the last two editions of the SA20. Markram has been captain because he's a brilliant captain, and they've torn it all up. This just looks a complete mess to me. I think the thing is, as well, to keep overseas players happy, you know, a lot of big players, they'll be chopping and changing a lot. As good as Klaassen is, I think he'll have to sit out a few times because they'll have to get Head in. They'll have to give Markram a chance. It just won't work. We know the settled teams are usually the best ones. Look at CSK, look at Mumbai. And this screams just the opposite to me.
Yeah, I mean, their big problem is domestic talent, lack of it with batting, no Indian batting power. And it's been the same for, well, a long time, actually. The bowling's okay. Paul Jansen, Faruqi, Phillips may barely play. Do they improve or do they just wither on the vine here?
No, I don't think they'll improve. It's just total madness. I mean, it's like as if nobody even knows about the four overseas players are all there. I mean, the only Indian player close to the national team is Washington Sundar. Right? And he's not exactly a certainty at getting their side. Cummins is the most overpriced player ever. He's got a poor record in T20, nothing in IPL. I wouldn't have him in lineup, but he's bound to play. And even the bowlers, I mean, Natarajan's got good numbers there, but that's based on old form. He came in to go and he took everyone by surprise, but he did nothing last year. Umrah Malik was also very disappointing last year, having started well in IPL. So it looks like they're really reliant on Bhuvneshwar Kumar, and I don't see why they won't really struggle again. And, you know, no one's going to have this whole question about none of those overseas players are going to be happy. It's a mess.
Yeah, just going back to Cummins, can't stress this enough. He performs below the mean with the ball. Likewise, Washington Sundar and Bhuv Kumar as well. Those are three probable locks, I think, for this team. Mm. Maybe not Sundar, but that's a problem if you've got three key players performing below the mean. Strategies, chances, plays for SRH, please, Richard, and then Paul.
Yeah, well, I think the bowling really worries me. They're just a lot of old stages. I think they could struggle. We were talking about teams with big finishes on good grounds. I think against this lineup, Sunrisers, that'd definitely be one. And just, we probably won't get it, but early season, if Klaassen's a price and he's going to bat number four, he's just a class apart, isn't he? Travis Head's having a shocking run for Australia now in Test cricket, so I won't be worried about opposing him with Klaassen. But it's all price-dependent. Look, we probably won't get what we want, but if we could, we'd be with Klaassen all day long because he is top class.
Paul?
6-1 to finish bottom again.
Okay, good. Quite like that, actually. That's your bottom five in the betting analysed. For the ultimate betting guide to the IPL, your ground guides are in there as well. You've got some great strategies and stats in there. You can't go wrong. I know I shouldn't say that myself, but it's action-packed in terms of stats and ways to play. Really good stuff, Richard and Paul. We've limited them both to one-point bet on that little lot. Paul, and then Richard, please, your standout wagers for the preview show, part one.
Sunrisers to finish bottom at 6-1.
Short and sweet, Richard.
Yeah, look, I could Dutch both, actually. I do agree with Paul, but I'm going to go with Delhi to finish bottom at 6-1. We'll take the Dutch together, Paul.
Sounds good.
There you go. Those are the teams which are likely to finish bottom next week. We'll find out who's going to win the thing, who's going to finish in the top four. That was part one of the ultimate betting guide to the IPL, with cricket only better for Betfair. Part two comes next week. I've been Ed Hawkins with Richard Mann and Paul Krishnamurti. We'll see you next week.